Man, it's so good to have you guys here this morning. Thanks for being here at The Dwelling, just a church where you can come as you are. Hey, I'd encourage you guys to pull out your phones and actually jump on Facebook, okay? And I want you to go to The Dwelling TX, and I want you to actually check in. It's really easy. You just go to the top. You guys probably all know how to do this. You just go to the top, those little three little dot thingamajiggers, hit it. Then there's a little button that says check in, and you can check in, okay? We want to just have you share out with all your friends and stuff that you're here, that this is a church where you find valuable and all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for being here, guys, this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We just ask that you would hear our prayer right now. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we come before you, praying on behalf of our nation, praying on behalf of our leadership, all of our leaders, all of the people who are over us, Lord, all the way from our president, all the way down to the people who are over us in our jobs. Lord, we just lift them up to you. We pray for blessing upon our nation, on our businesses. Lord, we want you to work. We want you to just keep doing your thing, Lord. Lord, we lift up to you right now this morning those who are in our nursing homes, those who are lonely. Lord, those with diseases, those who are sick and hurting. We lift them up to you this morning, Lord. We trust them into your hands. Lord, there are so many things that weigh on us. There are so many things in our hearts and in our minds that have really come with us all week long. And today, as you know, that cross that's behind the band, Lord, that cross just kind of let it really stand out this morning to us in our hearts and in our minds. Let that really just pop as we kind of focus our attention on you. Because, Lord Jesus, you've showed to us that when we're worshiping you, we're busy looking in the right direction. When we worship you, we're busy looking in the right direction. Lord, this morning, our gaze is upon you. There's so much in our hearts. There's so much we want to just give to you right now. Lord, there is some considerable sin in this room. Because, man, I don't know if everybody behind me, Lord, knew what I did this past week. My own brokenness. And then we just add up all of us and all the stuff where we've messed up, where we've yelled at our kids when we probably shouldn't have, where we've disobeyed our parents, where we had that thought about the, you know, our boss, where we've had that thought about that coworker, where we said those things we maybe shouldn't have said, whatever it might be. Lord, there's some considerable brokenness in this room this morning. And so we just come and we lay it all before you. We lay it all before your cross. We trust, Lord, that you will forgive us. And we know that that's exactly what you do. You forgive. And you don't only forgive, but you come to be with us right now. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Cool. So, man, does that just fire you up to see? I'm going to explain a little bit. I'm going to talk today about the kingdom of God a little bit. And you're going to, I hope, walk away with a better understanding of what just took place, which was really an inbreaking of God's reign and rule in this world, even now today, and a breaking in and a reigning of God in our hearts today, right now. You saw it unfold, and I pray that you hear it unfold as His Word, the Word of God, comes to us this morning as well. I'm just bringing up a little clock. I need my clock. Need my clock. So today we are going to be picking up where we left off last week, which was really focusing our attention on prayer. And you'll remember that I've kind of grounded this entire sermon kind of series, you might call it, in the fact that I feel like I kind of suck at prayer or stink at prayer. Okay, and so I mean, I listen, I. You know, I'm not talking about the words I say, like, saying the right words or something. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like the rhythm of my life and prayer and the habits I put into place for prayer to take place in my life. I don't feel like I'm very good at that. And so I've wanted to spend some time with us, but really also just selfishly myself, studying prayer. What's going on in prayer? How do I do it better? How does it look? All this kind of stuff. And we've been focusing our attention especially on Jesus' words, right? Jesus' words that he teaches us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, okay? Now, Mr. Lyle, I got to tell you right now, I'm going to throw you some curveballs back there, okay? So you just kind of be watching where I'm going. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive in. Lord, break in right now through the power of your word. Not my words, Lord. My prayer is that they just be your words this morning. Through the power of your words, break into our hearts. Rule and reign among us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holyify. Right? You should have been here last week. Holyify your name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let thy kingdom come. It's actually a petition. Come, Lord. Come. Come right now. Break in. The other day, I was on Yahoo News, and I was just kind of cruising through on Yahoo, and I was just looking at, yeah, that's where I get my news is Yahoo News. And I came across one of the little boxes that said, Prince Harry gives gift to girlfriend's mom, okay? Prince Harry gives a gift to girlfriend's mom. And here's the deal. I realize how ridiculous this world is going, and I realize how ridiculous my life has gotten when I clicked it, okay? Listen, I am starting this message off as embarrassing as I can. I clicked that thing. You know Prince Harry, or the guy over in, I don't know, England or Great Britain or whatever. I'm screwing it up. I'm sorry, but one of those. What, England? England. So Prince Harry and Prince William and all the, you know, the Queen and all this kind of stuff. Isn't it true that there's just something fascinating about that whole deal? I don't know. Maybe just me. Like, I'm kind of like a monarchy kind of guy. I'm kind of like a, you know, if we had a queen, I think that'd be kind of cool. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, a queen with some power or something. She can't do anything over there. I think it'd be kind of cool. So I'm always just kind of fascinated. I know this is embarrassing, but I'm always just kind of fascinated with that stuff. But, you know, when Jesus says, thy kingdom come, it hits us a little differently than it hits people that, you know, understand that stuff. You know what I mean? Because we don't live in like a kingdom. We got like, you know, a president and then a Senate and a Republican. You know, it's just all like all, you know, it's just different. It's just different, but we kind of are fascinated by this kingly kind of stuff. And Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he begins to talk about the kingdom of God. And just before him, you know, Jesus had a cousin named John. And John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 says this. He comes, John the Baptist, he's got all the camel hair guy. He's kind of a wild, crazy dude. He says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then a chapter later, Jesus, in chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus says, he starts to preach, and Jesus says what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is really close. The kingdom of heaven is almost here. The kingdom of heaven is like right here. It's like right here. What is this kingdom stuff? The kingdom of heaven is used about 42 times in the book of Matthew. It's used a bunch. It really starts and is rooted in the fact that Jesus is kind of this promised king, right? But what is a kingdom? When you think of kingdom, that kingdom come. When you think of a kingdom, I always kind of think of almost a static, kind of like a place, like a more like a place. And I was reading through a commentary the other day that I wanted to just share with you. This is what it says. Both grammatically, this is by a guy named Gibbs, who's one of my favorites, both grammatically and in the context of Matthew's gospel, and the whole New Testament for that matter, the kingdom of God must be understood to refer to the royal activity of God. And then he does something very interesting. He translates the Greek word here, he translates it not kingdom, but through his whole commentary, he translates it as reign, the reign of heaven. And all he's trying to do, which he would make the case is both grammatically and in the context, just totally the way it should be, he says there's activity going on. It's not like just God is just, you know, chilling out, you know, just chilling. There's a royal activity is taking place. God's kingdom is, there's movement of some kind. And so let thy kingdom come, or let thy, maybe better, reign come. Let thy, you doing something come. And the people of Israel, the people that are first hearing this, they would have understood this a little bit, but then they got it wrong. Because here's the reality. The people of Israel come from a long line of having kings, right? They got a lot of kings, all the way back to King Saul, way back, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. And then these guys kind of made mistakes, and then some other countries conquered them, and then they were under oppression, and then they were enslaved by either the Assyrians or the Babylonians. And now, at Jesus' time, the Israelites were under the rule of who? Rome. Whoever said it, Rome. Good job. Woo, gold star. Rome, right? The Romans are over them, and so the people, as they're hearing, repent for the kingdom of heaven. The reign of heaven is near. It's right here. It's really close. They start thinking that some king guy is going to be sent from heaven to pull out a sword, get all the troops together, and go attack the Romans and push them out of the land. That's what they're thinking. See, the Israelites felt like the Romans were their opponents. And they, in some sense, were. But then Jesus comes on the scene. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the reign of heaven, is near. Well, how near? How close is it, Jesus? Jesus preaches a sermon. Watch this. Follow me. Jesus preaches a sermon, and then chapter 8 comes, and what happens? How near is the kingdom? How near is it? Chapter 8. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him. Now, listen, this is just the start of Jesus' ministry. And this leper, you know leprosy, the disease, skin disease? Leprosy came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand. Now, Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy reign come. How close is it? How close is it? It's getting closer and closer. Jesus stretched out his hands and he touches the guy. How close is it? It's here. How close? Right here. And you don't, if you're a Jew at this time, you do not touch somebody with leprosy. And Jesus touches them and says, I will it. Be clean. And immediately the guy's leprosy leaves him. Who is this Jesus guy? And then, a little bit later in the reading, he heals a servant. And then, a little bit later, he calms a storm. And then, a little bit later, just I'm literally in chapter 8 here still, Jesus heals two men with demons. How close is the kingdom of heaven, Jesus? How powerful will your kingdom be? Demons, be gone. And then, get a little further, Jesus heals a paralytic guy. Stand up. And then, gets a little further, Jesus takes a dead girl. If you're a Jew at this time, you do not touch somebody who's dead. That's the most unclean thing you can do. Touches her, says, rise up. Life is yours. How close is the kingdom of heaven? How close? It's pretty close. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. Poof, is here. And then there's this girl that's been bleeding, this lady who's been bleeding for years and years and years. She's feeling incredible shame, and Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven to her. How close? Thy kingdom come. Thy reign come. See, Jesus, folks, is against, this is my main point. You want to tweet this baby out? I would. I like this quote. Tweet this puppy. Don't be afraid to be on your phones tweeting. Now, if you're on the NFL or something, then that's annoying. Jesus is against your greatest opponents. Jesus is against your greatest most powerful opponents. Today, I'm going to try to help us identify what opposes us. What opposes you? See, Jesus comes on the scene and the Israelites think it's the Romans that are against us. And yes, in some sense they are. But isn't it true that you think that way? Now just try to follow me. Try to follow my brain. You think that the Romans are the most powerful thing against you. Unless you have leprosy. See, if you have leprosy, what do you think is the most powerful thing against you? Leprosy. You're not thinking about the Romans. You're thinking about, my skin disease, my skin. You think the Romans are the most powerful thing against you unless you're blind. Then you're not being able to see is what's against you. You think you're Rome, right? That's what's terrible until your little girl dies. And all of a sudden, it begins to be identified the things that are deep inside of us that are actually against us, whether it be sin, whether it be diseases, whether it be shame or pain or guilt, whatever it might be. These are the things that stand against us that run so much deeper than just Rome or I can't figure out how to do this or not sure what tomorrow is going to look like. There are things that are deeply against us, and Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people are kind of like, it would have been sweet if he'd have been on a tank. You know, a tank would have been way cooler, right? And way more powerful, and that would have helped us, and we would have rallied. But donkey's not too bad. We'll still get behind you. We'll get our swords out. We'll get our AR-15s. Okay, we'll go do this, right? And then the week starts to go south. And all of a sudden, wait, Jesus has a crown placed on his head, but it's a crown of thorns. And some guy with a glove, leather glove, takes it and smashes this crown onto his head. And these thorns pierce into Jesus' head, and blood is flowing. And it's not a crown with jewels. It's not a crown like with rules and teeth, like this all-powerful king. And then he goes to the cross. And he stretches out his arms. And he's hanging on the cross, dying. And these people are thinking, wait, this isn't our guy? And he's dying there. And what is the sign right above his head? The king. The king. In this kind of mocking way, the king. He's not the king. But what's Jesus doing? Jesus is going after your bigger opponents. He's going after things like death. Even the leper guy, as bad as that is, when he gets healed, what happened 30 years later to him? I'm guessing here. Or 32 years later, or 40. He died. He died. Bunch of people have died. See, Jesus is going after the things that stand against you. the things that are opposed to your greatest opponents. These are the things he goes after when he dies on the cross, and he literally defeats sin, and he defeats death, and he defeats demonic powers. And in his preaching ministry and in his healing ministry, he's demonstrating the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reign of heaven is here. And they're like, I don't see it. Yeah, you maybe can't see it because you're thinking about it as some kind of political, we need tanks. And in fact, you just need me. And when Jesus rises from the dead, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating Satan, he does it for you and for me. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Come now. This morning, I just want to ask you, what's your greatest opponent? What's your greatest opponent? What stands against you today? What is that thing that's standing against you? Is it some disease? Okay, I'm so thankful. Good. Maybe not to you, but maybe to some others. It could be a disease that stands against you today. Is it guilt? Is it some kind of guilt that, you know, you, years and years ago, you had the abortion. And that, or you had, you know, you helped try to make an abortion happen or something. In some situation, and now guilt, and every time you think about it, there's guilt, and there's shame, and there's pain. Does that thing stand against you? Is that your opponent? Is it some ideology that is just rooted in self-centeredness that you don't even fully realize, maybe, but somebody is trying to help you see that? Is it anxiety? Are you always anxious? Does anxiety stand against you? Is it some disease? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? What is the thing that stands opposed against you? Because when we pray, thy reign come, we're asking that God would come and reign in that situation. God, come and reign in my cancer. God, come and reign in my brokenness. Come and reign over my shame. Come and reign over my guilt. Come and reign over my anxiety. Come, come, come. Let thy reign come into me. Come, Lord. And then the question quickly becomes, what if God... This actually kind of sucks, but what if God chooses to just leave suffering in your life? What if, like, because our God is for you, he wants to break into your brokenness, right? What if God chooses, though, because we know this happens sometimes. Sometimes we know God doesn't take away the cancer. We know sometimes God doesn't take away the disease. Sometimes we know that God won't let certain things, he'll allow some of that suffering to continue in our lives at times. Why is that? What do we do then? Let me tell you. We keep praying, thy kingdom come. But it moves to a little bit deeper level. Here's what I mean. Follow me. When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are praying that God would come both now into the situation and soon. And what you're really praying also, you're praying all of this, as you say, thy kingdom come. I love that. But one of the things you're praying is that the end would come. You're actually praying that Jesus would come in the flesh, the second coming of Jesus, the second coming of the King. You're praying he would come. Did you know that? Do you know that every time you're praying that prayer, you're praying for the end of the world? You're praying, Jesus, please come, come, thy kingdom come, thy reign come. And see, listen to this. I wanted to make sure I get the first thing that I wanted to say. Here's my quote. See, we would want, We would want Jesus, we would want Jesus to return faster. We would pray that prayer with more sincerity if we were undergoing more suffering. Just think about that. When is the time? Have you ever had a time in your life where you were praying that prayer, "Thy kingdom come"? Like, I would love it if Jesus just came back right now. There's really only one time in my life where I prayed that prayer and it completely made sense. And it was under the worst suffering I was going under. And it was the worst suffering that was going on in my life. And I was literally praying, "Jesus, if you could just come right this second, I would love that. That would actually be just so great if you just come and reign over this earth." And the proof in the pudding on this is hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of Christians around the world who are being persecuted for their faith right now. When I was in India last year and I'm listening to testimonies from guys who are literally getting beaten in their villages for sharing the gospel, and their wives, around the world, wives who are being taken and raped and kids who are being enslaved because of their sharing of the gospel. And these people, they don't just pray, "Lord, thy kingdom come into this situation and reign." They are, but they're also praying even deeper than that. "Just come, Jesus, please return." And see, you and I, we're not thinking like that because what time do the Packers play? I hope the right people bring the right cheese dip. And I love cheese. I went to the cheese dip. I love the little weenies. Little weenies are so good. Thanks. And we're thinking about that stuff, and we're not thinking like, "Thy kingdom come." And this is partly the danger. See, the people who pray this prayer, actually, when they think about it, want it to happen, are the people who are able to identify the things that are against them. If you're able to identify what your opponents are, then you begin to pray this prayer, "Lord, come and reign. I need a king in this situation. I don't want just like a little governor guy. I don't want just a little president guy. I don't want just a little senator. I want a king in this situation. Come and reign. Do your kingdom work." What stands against you today? What's your greatest opponent? Is it death? Some sin that just keeps creeping up? Demonic attacks? Disease? Our Lord Jesus, with his death on the cross, was going after your greatest opponents. And he's defeated them. And he promises to return soon, to restore creation back to the way it's supposed to be. Just go read Revelation. Our Lord Jesus, his reign has come. His reign does come. And his reign will come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we got to see your reign come this morning. We got to experience it as we received you in our hearts and in our lives, as we got to partake in communion, as we got to see little Graciela get brought to the waters of baptism, and really the promises that are associated with it, that you now are king of her life. We got to see the inbreaking and hear the inbreaking of your kingdom as the words of forgiveness have been granted to us because of what you've done on the cross. We experienced today the inbreaking of your kingdom. That's good stuff, Jesus. I thank you for that promise that we have. that you'll do that even now today. Lord, there are some things that you are going to allow us to continue to suffer with. And for those things, and for those around the world who are being persecuted for their faith, for those even in this very room who are missing loved ones who've gone before us, where death has separated us and has such a final word, or so it seems, we pray even that thy kingdom come prayer at a deeper level. We ask that you would return soon. Return soon. Please come soon to restore creation back to the way you'd have it be. And Jesus, we know why you haven't come soon. You actually tell us in your word that you simply want more people to be part of your kingdom. And so I pray that you'd embolden our hearts and embolden us to take that message of salvation to even those people around us. Embolden us with that, Lord. You don't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Grant that to us, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Amen. And now may our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may our Lord Jesus, who is our King, go with you and reign in you this next week. Go in his peace. Amen.